The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 19th, 2012, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad yad acharati shrestas tattareve charojana sayat pramanam gurute lokastad danuvartate yad yad acharati shrestas tatta deve charojana sayat pramanam gurute lokastad danuvartate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by the exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra scripture to teach to the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents, and therefore they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine. So, Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was asked to give a seminar of my own choosing tonight here at this wonderful ISKCON temple, Jagannath Mandir in Kuala Lumpur. So I was thinking, what is the most important topic? And that most important topic is we must all become ideal Vaishnavas, actually. Unless we become ideal Vaishnavas, we won't be happy. Actually, that's a thing. If we do not become ideal Vaishnavas, we cannot be happy. Money will not make us happy. Position, power, prestige, these will not make us happy. Nice clothes, nice car, nice apartment, these things will not make us happy. The only way we can become happy is to become ideal Vaishnava. You understand? So, we must become ideal Vaishnavas. We have no choice. Really, we have no choice to become ideal Vaishnavas. So what does it mean to become an ideal Vaishnava? This is discussed by Prabhupada. It means you must follow the religious principles. You must be an example of the religious principles. We have to become like that. Ideal examples of these principles. We read in the Bhagavatam, Nashta Pareshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. So, does Prabhupada want us to be persons Bhagavatam, or he wants to be the only person Bhagavatam? Does Prabhupada want us to become also living embodiments of these teachings? Of course he does. He wants us all to become Paramahamsas, pure devotees. Prabhupada wants us all to become pure devotees, living embodiments of these teachings. Actually, Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, I don't know if you were there, I heard it on the recording, but Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will grow to 1,000,000. Then we will grow to 10,000,000. There will be no scarcity of acharyas. Prabhupada's vision of ISKCON was at least 10,000,000 acharyas. You see. The Ritviks, they say, oh no, only one acharya. But I think they missed that instruction of Prabhupada, that he wanted 10,000,000 acharyas. You see. Somehow they missed that one, and they missed a lot of them, the Ritviks. They're guilty of the fallacy known as half-hand logic, you see. They take what they like and they leave aside what they don't like. You know the story of that, that Ardha Kakuti Nyaya, half hen logic. The farmer, he had a very nice hen. And very nice eggs, very big plump eggs. Many rupees they gathered in the marketplace, you see. They attracted many, he could sell them for many rupees. He was very happy with his hen, but he had one complaint, that the hen eats too much. So he had an idea. This end of the hen that lays the egg is very good. This end of the hen that eats so much, it is not very good. So I have a very good idea. He took his hatchet and whack, he cut off the head of the hen. He's thinking, he was so proud of himself, I'm so intelligent, you see. I have solved my problem. Now I'll just get the eggs. I won't have to feed the hen. What a fool and a rascal. He couldn't figure out why no more eggs were coming. What's wrong with this hen? It's not laying any more eggs. You see? This is called half-hen logic. Ardha kukuti nyaya. So, these Vritvic people, they are called half-hen logicians. They killed Prabhupada's teachings, actually, by taking what they like and leaving aside what they don't like. If you want to be a true Prabhupada Nuga, you want to be a true follower of Prabhupada, then you must take Prabhupada in toto. You must take everything that Prabhupada says and fully surrender. That's all. Not that you like at a supermarket. Well, I'll take this. Prabhupada is not a supermarket. He's the world acharya. You have to take Prabhupada's teachings in toto, in full, you see. The full thing. Now, the Prabhupada, I like this, I don't like that. No, you take Prabhupada in full. So Prabhupada wants us to become acharyas, each and every one of us, you see. We are a preaching mission, that's a fact. And Prabhupada said the best way to realize Krishna is by preaching. So do you think that might be a hint to each and every one of us that we should preach? If our goal is to realize Krishna, right? The goal of every member of ISKCON is supposed to be to realize Krishna. That's why we're called what? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that means the goal of every member of the society should be to become fully Krishna conscious. It's just logical, simple ABC logic. A little child can understand, you see. So we shouldn't forget the most simple thing that's as obvious as the nose and the front of our face. That we are here in this society, we are meant to become Krishna conscious. That's why we're here. We're meant to become ideal Vaishnavas. Living examples of these teachings, we are meant to become acharyas. So, the best way to realize Krishna is by preaching. So how do you become the most effective preacher? By becoming an ideal example. Why? Can't you just repeat the philosophy? Isn't that enough? Can I tell people to stop smoking while I'm smoking? Now you children shouldn't smoke. No. Don't smoke. It's good. It's not good for you. You see? Just like when I went to the high school in the U.S., you see. The teachers, they had a break room, you see. And they would go in the break room and smoke cigarettes. And the students weren't allowed to smoke. But some students would smoke anyway. They were addicted to smoking cigarettes. And they would go into the toilet room and smoke the cigarettes over the commode. And if the teacher came in, they drop the cigarette in the commode and flush it before they got caught with a cigarette in their hand. But it was a big thing, you know, the teachers who were smoking would come in and catch the students smoking and approach them to the principal and be punished. We caught you smoking. They were themselves smoking. You see, the hypocrisy? Prabhupada gives that example here in this purport. So if we want to effectively preach, you see, those teachers, they cannot effectively teach because they're saying don't smoke. Well, they are smoking. You cannot effectively preach if you yourself are not following. Therefore, we are meant to become ideal examples of Prabhupada's teachings. Does that mean, well, come on, Prabhu, I got my tilak, I got initiated, I got my dhoti, got my sari, you know, got my neck beads, I'm all set. Wait a minute, Prabhu, wait a minute, Manaji, what about all that dirt in your heart? All that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, illusion, and envy, all that crud we still have sitting here in our hearts, what about that? You see? We may be externally, but internally, are we ideal Vaishnavas? Or are we struggling neophytes? You see? Are we Internally, are we ideal Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, or are we struggling neophytes, still battling it out with the modes of nature, sometimes winning and sometimes losing? You know the answer. All too painfully well, we know that each one of us knows the answer. As we struggle with the modes of nature, as we struggle with lust, as we struggle with anger, as we struggle with greed, madness, illusion, and envy, we know. That day I didn't get up early to chant my round. That day I lost my temper. That day my mind wandered its thoughts of illicit sex. You see? We know. Each of us know how fallen we are, you see. So let's realize it, admit it, and get serious about becoming acharyas, ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. This is what Prabhupada wants us to do, you see. So the more that we can do that, the more we will have an impact. This is one of the most amazing verses in all the Vedic wisdom. If you look at it carefully and try to understand what are the ramifications of this verse. I mean, the ramifications of this verse are absolutely astounding if you look at it very carefully. Whatever action a great man performs, the common men follow. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Now, do we have a mission to make the whole world Krishna conscious? Are we just supposed to make ourselves Krishna conscious? Prabhupada told us, his disciples, Jai Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Sushi. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, his disciples, he gave us this order. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow, Prabhupada, you really mean you want us to deliver the whole world? Does Prabhupada say something he doesn't mean? This is a matter of poetry, or when Prabhupada says deliver the whole world, does he want us to deliver the whole world or not? He didn't really mean it. Did Prabhupada really mean deliver? Of course he did. Prabhupada said become guru and deliver the entire world. He instructed us, his disciples, to deliver the entire world. I mean, wow, that is one big order. You may say, but Prabhupada, that's impossible. How you can give us an impossible order? I mean, look at all the mosques and the synagogues and the churches. And how many people are actually coming to the Hare Krishna temple out of the world population? It's like 0.00000001%. How can we possibly deliver the whole world, Prabhupada? You see? But Prabhupada said, deliver the world. You see. What are we supposed to do then? Say, well, it's impossible, just forget it. Prabhupada didn't really mean it. We don't really have to think about it because, you know, it's impossible. So that's what we should do. Well, do you know the story of the illiterate Brahmin in the Ranganath temple? There was one, this is the time of Gauranga, time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was one Brahmana in the Ranganath temple. And this Brahmana couldn't read anything. He was completely illiterate. Totally, completely illiterate. But you know what his Guru Maharaj told him? He said, my dear disciple, I order you to every day read all 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So what is he supposed to do? Well, Guru Maharaj told me, but I can't do it, so forget it. No. He would sit there. Of course, it wasn't the BBT edition in those days. It was a handwritten manuscript. Beautiful handwritten manuscript. You can imagine some Brahmin of love and devotion had copied every word of the Gita. You see, a beautiful Sanskrit. So he looked over that handwritten manuscript every day. He would look over and just look through it. Just look at it and look. He couldn't read it, but he would dutifully run his eyes over every single word of that Bhagavad Gita, you see. Without understanding of him. So, you know what kind of reaction he got from the other people, the other devotees in the temple? They made fun of him. I mean, it wasn't really nice, but that's what they did. Sometimes in ISKCON we have that problem too. Devotees are sincerely trying to do service and people don't appreciate them. They make fun of them, make jokes about them. It's not very good. It's offensive. So even 500 years ago that was going on in the Ranganath temple. They're making fun of him. Ah, oh, just see him. That Brahmin over there. Thinks he can read the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Making fun of him like that. That's it. Lord Chaitanya, he came to that temple, he heard all this talk, the illiterate Brahmin who reads the Bhagavad Gita. He was thinking, let me see this illiterate Brahmin who can read Bhagavad Gita. So this Brahmana, he was very used to being criticized. He didn't let it bother him. My Guru Maharaj told me to do this and I'm going to do it. I don't care what they say, they can laugh at me, they can make cut jokes about me. I don't care what they say, Guru Maharaj ordered me and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to put my eyes on this text every day, you see. But when Lord Chaitanya approached him, just imagine you're sitting in the temple reading the Bhagavad Gita and Lord Chaitanya walks up to you. The beautiful, effulgent Lord, who the Brahma Jyoti is emanating from his body, the source of all the universes, Krishna himself, the combined form of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, with the full Shakti of Mother Radharani and Father Krishna fully manifested in his transcendental body, and he walks up to you. You can imagine what it would be like, you see. So he understood, oh, this person is not coming to criticize me. So Lord Chaitanya said, Ramana, I have heard you are reading Bhagavad Gita and you are illiterate. How is that, Ramana? He said, yes, what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me that every day I must read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya said, Brahman, I see you're not only reading Gita, you're also crying. I see the tears rolling down your cheeks. How is it you're crying, Brahmana? He said, yes, they have made one drawing here. On they have made one painting here. They put it here with this manuscript of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna. And when I think how kind is Krishna, that he is acting as a chariot driver for his disciple Arjuna. And I think, oh, how kind is Krishna to his devotee. Then I cry. Lord Chaitanya gave him a big embrace. He said, Brahman, you're the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So even if it seems impossible to make the whole world Krishna conscious, we have to try, just like the illiterate Brahmin. And what will happen? Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy will shower upon us like torrents of rain in the Indian monsoon season. We have to make, even if we think it's impossible to make the whole world Krishna conscious, we have to try to do it. And what is the way to try to do it? That's stated right here. You become acharya. You become a perfect example of Krishna consciousness. Well, how do I do that? Well, I can tell you, Prabhus and Matajis, it begins right in our consciousness. That's where you begin. It doesn't begin with the external, with your tilak. The tilak is a symptom, external symptom. It begins with your internal consciousness. Are you remembering Krishna? Are you forgetting Krishna at every minute? You see, that's where the acharyas are made. Krishna smaranam creates acharyas, ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. So, is your smaranam Krishna or is it a Krishna? You see, that you have to be mindful of at every minute. Is my smaranam Krishna or is it Krishna? Is it Krishna conscious or is it not Krishna consciousness? At every minute we have to be introspectively scrutinize our consciousness and see if I'm Krishna conscious or I'm not Krishna conscious. If you can do that, everything else will follow automatically. If you're always observing your mind, yad-yadatarati-shrestas-tat, no, not that one. The other verse is, Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamastaram tatastato nayamyatad atmanyavibhashangniya. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So you have to become yogis. We have to become yogis. We have to become perfect controllers of our minds by always keeping them fixed in Krishna consciousness. That begins from the very moment you wake up in the morning, you see. The first time, as soon as we wake up, immediately we have to come to Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, you see, offer obeisances to your spiritual master, offer obeisances to Prabhupada, do something. As soon as you wake up, immediately you have to fix your mind in Krishna consciousness. Not, well, I have to get to the office. No. First thing, fix your mind in Krishna consciousness upon arising. That is our first business, you see. And then throughout the whole day, you see. What's the easiest way to fix our minds in Krishna consciousness? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore Prabhupada said, chant at least 16 rounds. We can chant all day. While you're shaving, you can go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you see. Combing your, tying your sika, not in a sika, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you see. We go Hare Krishna all day long. When you're driving down, Hare Krishna, you see. When you're washing the dishes, Hare Krishna. We can go Hare Krishna all day long. How much are we chanting the holy names? How much are we in love with Krishna's holy names? Someone who is in love with Krishna's holy name, they can't stop chanting. 24 hours they go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How much are we in love with Krishna's name? Do you think the name is just some vibration? No, Krishna's name is Krishna himself. Do not forget this. Krishna and Krishna's name are one and the same. So the way to remember Krishna 24 hours is to chant Hare Krishna as much as possible. I could elaborate more, but we have a very short seminar tonight. So now you can, whatever questions, if they have questions on the paper, write them down. Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. If there's any questions on the paper, you can pass it forward. Maybe nobody wrote anything. Questions? Well, there are some. Oh, the paper's being passed out now. No, it should have been passed out earlier. Oh, here's a question. Okay. First question. From a disciple, obviously. Hare Krishna Shri Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. My humble question. What is the meaning of the word Vaishnava? Devotee of Vishnu. You can say, what were devotees of Krishna? Why are we called Vaishnavas then? Well, you have to understand Krishna is Vishnu and Vishnu is Krishna. Vishnu doesn't necessarily mean four arms. Vishnu tattva, category. There are two categories, jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva. So Krishna is Vishnu tattva category. Krishna is the original form of Vishnu. You see? The original Vishnu. Vishnu at home is Krishna. And Vishnu in the office is so many different Vishnu forms. Mahavishnu, Karnadakashai Vishnu, Garbhadakashai Vishnu, Narayan. You see, this is Krishna at the office. Vishnu at home is Krishna. So Vaishnava means devotee of Vishnu. So we are devotees of Vishnu at home. It's Krishna. Why does Lord Chaitanya preach outside India? He didn't preach outside of India. Probably, well, why does not? He is preaching outside of India through Prabhupada. Prabhupada possesses Gaura Shakti. Lord Chaitanya is manifest in the preaching of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya has preached all over the world through the medium of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada possesses pure 100% Gaura Shakti. Lord Chaitanya's Shakti is fully invested in Srila Prabhupada. You see? So Lord Chaitanya cherishes, values Srila Prabhupada so much that even though he personally could have spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he wanted that Prabhupada should be the devotee who gets credit for having done that. That's how dear Prabhupada is to Lord Chaitanya. You see? No other Vaishnava in the history of the world, including Lord Chaitanya himself, ever spread Krishna Bhakti all over the world, you see. This is the first time Prabhupada is unique acharya in the history of Vaishnavism. Any other questions? Please explain how a devotee can be more serious in Krishna consciousness. You really have to realize the urgency of it. I mean, I just saw one of our beloved ISKCON devotees, one very sweet lady, Radha Bhav Mataji. Before we came, left the U.S., we visited her. She's dying of cancer of the pancreas. It's incurable. She's just in a... They had to give her... The pain is excruciating, so they give her heavy drugs to keep her from just screaming in agony at every minute, basically. And she's... It's just a pitiful sight, you see. To see her lying there on her deathbed, going on for how many months it will go on and on and on and on. She's lying on her deathbed. So we did. We went there to sing Hare Krishna for her and express our profound appreciation for all the kindness she had given us previously. So I told all the devotees that were gathered there, we're all waiting, you know, we're waiting, we're next. We're next in line. We're going to be there too. You see? We're all waiting our turn to be on the deathbed. You see? So if you remember that, well, you're just waiting your time, you know, to be called in. It's not your time to be on the deathbed. Your time. Okay, your turn. Your turn to die. And we... If you remember, that can come at any time. Doesn't matter. A young, old, wealthy, poor, famous, infamous, any person, any time, in any place, in any situation. You see, we have to realize death can come at any minute. If you remember that, you can become very serious, you see. And also realize, unless I am serious, I can't really be happy. I may think I'm happy, but that happiness is feverish. It's illusory. I can only genuinely be happy if I become serious about Krishna consciousness. That's another thing that can help. Okay, good. Some questions have come now. Many times we are not following fully, but we have to sit in the Vyasasana to give classes and we repeat the Acharya's instructions. Well, if you're not following the four principles, don't sit on the Vyasasana. If you're having illicit sex, media, intoxication, and gambling, don't sit on the Vyasasana. If you're sincerely trying, if you're strictly following your initiation vows, then you can sit on the Vyasasana, even if you're not a Paramahamsa yet. Then it's okay. But you should think that actually I'm not qualified to sit on the Vyasasana. But I'm doing so on the instructions of my higher authorities. That's it. You know what? Even Prabhupada told us he wasn't qualified to sit on the Vyasasana. You know what L.A. Maharaj Prabhupada said then? When they first gave him a big, nice Vyasasana, he said, I am not qualified. He started crying. He said, I am not qualified to sit in this. But I'm only doing so on behalf of my spiritual master, my Guru Maharaj. So one should never feel they're qualified to sit in the Vyasasana. But if one is following their, is initiated devotee, is strictly following their vows, then they can sit. It's a service to their spiritual master, but not that they are worthy of it. They should never think I'm worthy. Okay. Can a father's devotional practice benefit his children, even if the children are not practicing Krishna consciousness? Yes. Even if they don't take to it now, if the father is a pure devotee, they will... The father is steady in Krishna consciousness. That is benefiting the children, even if they don't take it up now, they'll probably take it up later on, seeing their father's steady example. And even if not, they'll be more Krishna conscious seeing his example than they would have been if he had not been Krishna conscious. Why it is important to apply tilak in our daily material activity? It's a regulative principle given in the nectar devotion. You see, the regulative principle. Even if you go to work and you don't wear tilak at work, you can put it on in the morning before you go to work for your morning sadhana. And if you can get away with wearing it at work, then do it. I was, a few years ago, I was working for a major U.S. corporation. And when I got hired, I went in without tilak. But I was thinking, you know, I felt very uncomfortable. When I'm not wearing tilak, I feel like I'm a Nagababa or something, you know, which is, I'm not dressed, you know, like I'm naked or something. It's embarrassing to wear, not have tilak on. It's a very embarrassing thing. Oof, you know. But so one day I said, enough is enough. I'm going to wear tilak to work today. I'm going to be me. I'm not going to be somebody else. I'm going to be myself today. I'm going to wear tilak to work. So, I was doing telesales and selling over the telephone. And that day, I was selling it. Wham, wham. One sale, another sale, another sale. My manager was going, wow. He'd get paid according to how much I would sell, right? My manager. My supervisor, Mr. Terrence Washington. So, Mr. Washington was... He was watching the sales come in. His eyes were getting really enlivened. One of his team members was really, you know, doing great. And he's, at the end of the day, he said, "Mr. Bridge," that's my Karmi name. Like, I like that Bridge, like Bridge Bossy, you know. "Mr. Bridge," he said, "I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on, you must wear it every day." So I had the order of my boss now. I must go to work with tilak every day. I loved it. So tilak is actually very nice because it reminds us who we are. Just like a soldier becomes enlivened when he wears his uniform. You see? The devotee becomes enlivened when he wears his tilak, when he's dhoti or sari. Prabhupada told us that we should wear a Vaishnava dress. Some devotees are making propaganda now that this is not Vaishnava dress. But that's not true. Prabhupada said clearly the dhotis and saris are Vaishnava dress. Some ladies wear the Punjabis instead of the sari. That's not Vaishnava. That's Karmi dress. Punjabi is Karmi. Wear sari. Where do you see Radharani wearing Punjabis? You see? Ladies wear sari, Vaishnavis wear saris, and Vaishnavas wear dhoti. That is Vaishnava dress, you see. So take up this Vaishnava dress, you see. You'll feel good. Why am I putting on a sari? Why am I, because Prabhupada wants me to. I'm doing it to please Prabhupada. And when you know that you're pleasing Prabhupada, you'll feel a good day. You'll feel good. Wow, I'm pleasing Prabhupada putting on a dhoti. I'm pleasing Prabhupada putting on a sari. I feel so good. But if you don't put on, you wear yogi pants or Punjabis at the temple, well, Prabhupada isn't pleased with me, you know. It's not a very good feeling. You see? So these things are very important. This is coming down from the acharyas, this standard. A Vaishnava dress is coming from the acharya. Now it's true, you can be Krishna conscious wearing karmi clothes. Obviously, if you go to a job, you may have to wear karmi clothes, you see. So that means you can't be Krishna conscious? No, you can be Krishna conscious wearing karmi clothes. But it's more difficult to be Krishna conscious when you're wearing karmi clothes. That's a fact. So why you wouldn't want to, if we're trying to become pure devotees, we should wear a dhoti or a sari at every chance we can get. Every single chance you can get, wear a dhoti and a sari, because that we want to be Krishna conscious. Okay. How do we know the sincerity he or she has to Krishna? That's very simple. You can know your sincerity by how much you are detached from material sense gratification. That's how you can measure your own sincerity. How much am I detached from sense gratification? You see, how much am I attracted to women? That's a sign of my lack of sincerity. How much am I attracted to men? That's a sign of my lack of sincerity, you see. How much am I attracted to Krishna? That is my sincerity. Okay. Money is an important factor in this age. Is it okay for grahasthas to give importance to savings or family security? Yes, you can do that. Grahastha can save, can bank money. There's no harm. He should bank some money for emergency. But he should also be very generous to support the movement and support the preachers, you see. Not that he simply banks everything for his family. He can bank a certain percentage, you see. But he must be very generous for these, to give to ISKCON and give to the preachers of ISKCON. Very, very generous. And you know what? The more you're generous, the more Krishna gives you. That's one secret. The more you give to God, the more God gives you. I mean, you could say it's a material consideration, but it's actually a fact. Yayatamang prapajante, inasmuch as they surrender and reward them. The more that Krishna sees you're giving your money to Krishna, the more he'll give you money to engage in his service. The more you engage your money in Krishna's service, he'll give you more money, more money, more money. So if you want a lot of money, then give a lot of money to Krishna. And he will give you more money, more money, more money. In fact, if you become completely pure in your heart, Krishna will give you all the wealth in the whole universe. It give you everything to engage in his service. Why a devotee who is expert in giving deep philosophical classes in Krishna consciousness cannot practice what he preaches? Your question is wrong. He is not expert. Your question is wrong. He may appear to be expert in giving deep philosophical. I guarantee you, if he's not practicing, it is superficial. His classes are superficial, they're not deep. You're being befooled into thinking he's giving deep philosophical discussions when actually he's just making a show. He's just making a show. The only person who can take you deep into the ocean of Krishna consciousness is that person who is himself deep. You see, he cannot take you any deeper than he is. So that person who is superficial, his classes are superficial. If you think they're deep, you're duped. You're being duped. We've seen many, actually, I've been around for 41 years in ISKCON. And we, Maharaj and I, have seen him come and seen him go. Even big, big sannyasis, gurus, GVCs, we've seen them, big, powerful lectures, thousands of followers, now they're just hugging some prostitute. We've seen him come, we've seen him go, you see. That person who can really take you deep into this philosophy is that person who is himself deeply absorbed in Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Krishna consciousness. So we have to seek out such devotees who are very deeply absorbed in bhakti. Doesn't matter who they are. Sannyasi, householder, vanaprastha, man, woman, it doesn't matter, you see. Anyone who is deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we want to hear from them. We want to learn from them, you see. Those who are deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we want to hear them preach. We want to learn from them. Because by hearing from such qualified people, we advance in Krishna consciousness very easily. Just like in India, you know, many people have the bicycles. And to go 30 kilometers to work every day on a bicycle, that's a lot of pedaling. You see? So what do? They grab a hold of one bus or a truck and zoom. They get to work very easily, just grabbing on a bus or a truck. So, we neophyte devotees were like bicycle peddlers, you know, struggling to advance in Krishna consciousness. You find some powerful advanced Vaishnava, you see, and just grab hold of his lotus feet. And zoom, you're rolling right along, you see. Prabhupada, this is better purport, the other day, Prabhupada said, I think the word was durarajham, that Krishna consciousness is very, very difficult. Dura, it's very difficult. But if you take the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna's pure devotee, it becomes very easy. So that's the secret. You have to find those who are pure in their Krishna consciousness, who have no material motives, who simply want to please Prabhupada, who have no material motives whatsoever for name, fame, profit, adoration, distinction, women, wealth, or followers. Simply those devotees who are purely serving Prabhupada's mission, ahaitakiya pratiyata. You have to find such devotees, and you should hear from them, should serve them, because by the dust from their feet, your advancement will become very easy in Krishna consciousness. So we got time for one more question. If there's any more, if not, we can end a little early tonight. Got a couple of minutes. I see someone writing a question down over there. All right. Isn't this Krishna consciousness process simply wonderful? Isn't it better than a gulab jamun? A gulab jamun is nice, but how long can you go on relishing a gulab jamun, you know? You swallow it and then it's all over, you see. But Krishna consciousness, you can go on relishing for all of eternity. Okay. Alrighty here. Let's see. May I know why everybody always thinking a sannyasi can become a spiritual master, not a grihastha? Actually, that is a misconception. Of course, we offer all respect to our exalted sannyasi godbrothers. They are our gurus. But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya said, kiba vipra kiba nashi shudra kene noi jay Krishna tattva se guru hoy. Doesn't matter if you're a learned scholar, learned brahmana, kiba vipra, kiba nashi, sannyasi, a sudra, whatever you may be. If you know the science of Krishna, you can become a spiritual master. It's in ISKCON, this misconception is sometimes there. I know one of my disciples in Mayapur, he said, what? Your spiritual master is not a sannyasi? He's a married man? Oh, he can't be a guru? I guess that person didn't read the Krishna book. I guess that means Lord Krishna made a big mistake when he accepted Sandipani Muni, a married man, as his guru. I guess Krishna made a mistake. He didn't hear Brahmachari. I guess Krishna didn't hear from him and know, oh my God, I shouldn't have taken Sandipani Muni. He's a guru. He's married. He's got a wife. I could be my guru. What are the seven mothers? You see? There's the real mother, you see? There's the wife of the brahmana, the wife of the cow, the wife of the guru. Oh my God. The guru can actually have a wife? Yes, he can. But he can't be a grihamedi. He has to be a strict Vaishnava, you see? Very strict. You can't. Now in ISKCON, people say, well, you know, no illicit sex for householders means no sex outside of marriage, that's all. As long as you have it with your wife, it's okay, there's no restriction. But that's not what Prabhupada said. If you go to my website, iskonstandards.com, there's an essay that I wrote for the Pune Temple. They asked me to write this essay for their Grihastha book. This is Prabhupada's standards. What is the standard for a married householder? Sex is only for procreation. There's actually a Bhagavatam verse that says the householders are under the same regulations as the sannyasis. It's a Bhagavatam verse in the seventh canto. They are under the same restrictions as sannyasis, except under the permission of the guru they can procreate for having children. Otherwise, they're in the same position as the sannyasi. right there in the Bhagavatam it's stated. So if you're going to have a household or guru, you have to he has to be the caliber of, you know, in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, someone who's very strict about sadhana and not someone who's trying to change Prabhupada's teachings. Of course, in ISKCON, the GBC wouldn't let such people become householders, become gurus. They don't strictly follow. So the real thing is this person strictly following the process of Krishna consciousness? Then whether he's a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, a brahmachari, whatever he may be, you see, then I can accept him as my spiritual master. And that can be Diksha Guru or Siksha also. We can have one Diksha Guru, that's the Vedic system, but then we can have unlimited Siksha Gurus who inspire us to be more dedicated to our Diksha Guru, you see. If there's somebody who's preaching inspires me to become a better disciple of my Diksha Guru, then they are my Siksha Guru, you see. But it's not that the Siksha Guru instructions can take the place of the Diksha Guru. He's always subordinate to the Diksha Guru. You see, the Prabhupada explained that in one letter to Sri Galim Prabhu. Not that he can override the orders of the Diksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is the authority, and the Siksha Guru, he can assist that Diksha Guru in delivering the disciple. He assists the Diksha Guru, you see. Not that he's on an equal level. The Siksha Guru is subordinate to the Diksha Guru, except in the case of Prabhupada, who's the Siksha Guru of all of us, and he's superior to everybody. You see, that Siksha Guru's differences. We are all the Siksha disciples of Prabhupada. And some of us are Dikshas, and some of us are not Dikshas, but we're all the Siksha disciples of Prabhupada. So our time is up. And we'll stop here, and I thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly become very, very absorbed in the sweet nectar of Krishna's holy name as your only business. And spreading it all over the world as your only business. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.